Hey podcast listeners, I'm Caitlin Riggio.
And I'm Heather Cook.
And today we will be discussing the disparities in turnout at women's ice hockey games versus men's ice hockey games here at Boston University. The men's team attracts crowds in droves at Aganis Arena, while the women's games have considerably less attendees, regardless of how the teams are performing. We wanted to investigate this topic and explore reasons why this might be the case.
We started by talking to Leo Perret, the Director of Marketing and Digital Media for BU Athletics, in order to get some insight on how Boston University promotes the different sporting events. So the title of your position is pretty broad. How would you describe your relationship and roles within BU Athletics?
Sure thing. You're right. It is very broad. I oversee all of our marketing and our digital media, which encompasses the BU Athletics brand. Overseeing some of our social media, overseeing all of our video broadcasts on the marketing side. Make sure we're getting our teams and our coaches out in the community and out on campus, trying to drive fans, whether they be on campus as students or in the community, to our games and in attendance. But I have the pleasure of working with all of our teams, all 24 varsity programs. I get to work with all sorts of staff. Part of the event side is playing the events and strategically working with our facilities departments, working with compliance when we have anything to do with maybe a high school or a youth day, make sure there's no violations or everything that we're working within rules. So, and of course, going to work with all different departments on campus. We do annual faculty and staff appreciation nights and games where we get to invite them to come out and enjoy a meal and a free admission to a game. And then, of course, working with different student groups throughout the year at various events we have.
That sounds really great.
That.
So what are the main forms of marketing you do for the hockey games?
Yeah, well, so it's actually a little tough to, so for marketing for men's ice hockey, that's handled through the Aganis Arena.
Okay.
I'll work with different student groups and just try to promote the fact that we have home games and help promote on campus. Mm-hmm. But the extent of what we're trying to do within the community, as far as group outreach and bring them in and offer them group prices to attend the games and get to meet the team after. It's all pretty standard.
We spoke to several students earlier in the week about their experiences at the hockey games, and if I could just pass a few observations by you and see what you think of them, is that okay? So, few people know about Walter Brown Arena, which is where the women's hockey games are.
Okay.
Do you agree with that?
Not necessarily. I mean, it's been around a lot longer. Maybe it for students that aren't, any student that's an athletics fan, they're well aware of where it is and who plays there. We've hosted men's games there too. Obviously, that was the primary home for the men's team prior to there being a Aganis Arena. But I think Aganis Arena is a much more well-known venue, promoted. It's where, during matriculation, that's one of the first places you see on campus, so you know where it is, and they tell you, hey, amongst other events here, the men's team plays here, so they know exactly where it is.
Is there a reason why men's games are primarily in Aganis now and women's are not?
Well, part of the advantage is that there's no need for the women to share ice time. They have their own, they're one of, I think, five programs in the United States, national programs, Division I, that have their own dedicated arena just for them, where they have the priority over ice time, all that. So it's actually a nice advantage. And we've put a lot of money into renovations to that building as well, with improving the ice, improving the lighting, and we're continuing to put funds into it as well.
Is it at the same level of popularity as Aganis, you think?
I'm not quite sure what you mean by that.
So, I said earlier less people know about Walter Brown, but in terms of attendance to the games, more men's games are attended. Like, there are more people attending men's games than women's games.
Mm-hmm.
And so, do you think part of that is because there's more put into Aganis Arena?
I mean, that might help a little bit on a very, superficial level for fans, but, I'll give you a perfect example. And I think, again, going back to what I had said in the beginning, the men's fandom for men's teams, it's not my choice. I love working with our women's teams, but it tends to draw a little more. I mean, that's seen on the professional level, that's seen on the collegiate level. Like, for example, our men's and women's basketball teams share the same gym, and men draw substantially more
When we asked students earlier in the week about why they think attendance for men's games is more compelling, they said there were three reasons, and I just wanted to bounce them off of you and just see what you thought of them.
Sure.
So one was the Canes Challenge, which is the for when, I believe it's for when men's team win at Agonist, and then whoever attends, if they show their ticket, they get a discount on meals. But that doesn't exist for women's games. That was one thing. Second was, as we talked earlier about the glamour of Agonist Arena, just that it's a larger arena, and there's the promotional materials with if you go to six games, you get a jersey, that sort of thing. And then the third was just the timing of the games, so that men play games on Friday, Saturday evenings, and women play games in early afternoons, which is a less accessible time. So what do you think of that?
I think there's a lot of inaccuracies with that statement.
Okay.
In fact, for men's, women's basketball and ice hockey, we do a Rets West Challenge, where fans attend. They can win either a free order of fries or tater tots, or like a discounted buy one, get one free burger. So those fans have obviously not attended those games or become aware of that. The other thing that you pointed out with,
One was the Canes Challenge, second was the about just Agonist Arena, and then the next was the timing of the games.
Oh, the timing of the games. We actually had I think there was like five or six weekends this year where the women had games on Friday nights, which is an awful time to attend. And actually, there might have been one or two or even three where their game started at 7 before the men's game began at 7:30, and no one came to the women's game anyway. If anything, if they're that avid to be women's fans, they would go there for at least the beginning before heading over to men's ice hockey. I mean, it just goes to prove that people are attending maybe the fandom sways towards the men's games, which is their own personal preference, unfortunately.
Besides a love of hockey, why do you think people would attend men's games more than women's games?
Now, that is a great question. It's something I've been trying to figure out, too, because I think it applies to more than just men's ice hockey versus women's ice hockey. I think it applies to men's ice hockey versus all the other sports. Because one of the primary things I've heard, it's a chicken or the egg type thing, because one of the primary reasons for students that they say they want to attend the men's game is it's a social event. A lot of students to come here, unless they're from the Northeast or, you know, hockey, big hockey fan region, they probably haven't experienced hockey, you know? But they still come to the men's ice hockey games. And why? Because they know that's where there'll be crowds and groups of contingents of student fans where they can stand with and, you know, show that pride in BU. And it's actually an interesting concept I'm trying to figure out, because obviously we'd love to do that for, look at what season are we in right now? March Madness with basketball. And it's a huge thing all over the country. I mean, we've been to the March Madness tournament. We have a team every year that can compete to go play in the March Madness tournament. But the fans still aren't coming out in droves, because it's one of those things where unless they find a reason to come out there and they continue to show up. So if you're, female fan one, and you say, hey, I want to do something this Friday night. What are you guys up to? Oh, it's a men's ice hockey game. Okay, do you want to go? I really want to go. And they say, well, I don't think I want to go. And you check the other friend, and they say, yeah, I'm probably not going to go too. If you don't know anybody else who's going, are you going to go by yourself? Probably not. So it comes down to, you know, how do we appeal to the masses and try to get them there? One thing you had mentioned before is trying that jersey challenge, which we tried this past year, and that worked out pretty well for men's ice hockey. So what we're going to try to do is look into see if there's anything where we can replicate that. It was kind of a shot in the dark. We hadn't tried anything like that before. It's the first season ever. It got a good response. So we're gonna take a look at it, see what the budget line came out to for that, because we weren't sure. We're like, up until that point, we're like, we're trying like only like 100 students have come to six or more hockey games. So like, well, let's challenge them and see if we can get more to come out. So we need to break down those final numbers and see. You know, we budget for one thing, but we probably went over that budget. So we need to see if it's possible to do that for other sports, women's sports, of course, too, and see if that's something where it makes sense. And of course, the more you have to work within a budget, you may say, well, we can do it, but it's worth it if we get it to come to 12 games. Well, at that point, all my students are going to say, oh, it's going to be 12 games. I don't know. It's all a big commitment. Mm-hmm. So you got to try to figure out, there's a breaking point for any sort of promotion, too, where it makes sense financially, where it makes sense as an ask for the student or the fan to come up to the game, too.
But the Canes Challenge that we were talking about earlier, is that equally successful for both teams?
I think, so that I look at as there's different promotions you can look at. There's things that are attendance drivers, and there are things that are just kind of added benefits.
Okay.
So if you come out to a men's game, and if they meet the Canes Challenge, then you'll get a chance to buy a discounted item. That's what it is.
Okay.
So are you going to, if I told you that right now, if you come to the women's game and they score, say the challenge that night was 3 goals, then you'll get to buy an item at a discounted rate, or you'll get buy one, get one free. That in itself, I don't think makes people come. But if they're already there and they're having a good time and, hey, the team just scored 3 goals, you know what? Because of that, everyone gets a discounted item or buy one, get one free. Well, at that point, that's an added benefit, and it just adds to the excitement and the entertainment value of where you've just been. So that I would argue from the person who said it, without having met them or known them and seen what their mindset they were in when they made that statement, I would say that might be a little misleading.
Do you think one reason people attend more men's games than women's games is the shows of aggression? The likelihood of fights to break out in men's games?
That's an interesting question. You know what? Because I'm a fan of the student athletes, I know them all personally, I know the coaches, they're such good people. I sometimes don't look at it from a standard fan's point of view, and that actually would fall within that categorization. There certainly could be some of that. I mean, look how many people, for example, the NFL, people love the hits, the aggression, the punishment, and that doesn't exist in the women's game because there's no checking. That's not allowed. Whereas it does in the men's game for college hockey, so maybe that is part of it. I mean, there's obviously fighting's not allowed. It's not like the NHL or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But there is definitely a more aggressive.
And then, in general, what steps do you take to market for the men's and women's games? Just to recap. So there's promotional emails.
Yep. So there's promotional emails weekly. I mean, we're promoting them along with men's and women's basketball because we promote everything.
Yeah.
We want to give everybody their love. Everyone's here working just as hard in practice, and they care just as much about it as any other team. So we want to do that for them. But weekly emails. I have personal outreach to different groups at different times throughout the year, trying to work and see if it makes sense for them to attend a game or make an event around a game. We have discounted ticket rates for both teams. We have our Fan Zone app. I'm not sure how much of an Athletics fan you are, but like if you have the Terrier Fan Zone app, you can check in. It's geotargeting.
Okay.
You can get points to win free Raising Cane's or free food from Ruts West. There's no purchase at all. All you gotta do is check in. That's it.
Based on attendance to the games.
Yep. So if you, for example, if you if there's a women's game at 7 o'clock on a Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And generally they go for 2 hours. So from the window of 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., if you go into Walter Brown Arena, it's all geo-targeting.
Okay.
So when you're there, if you check in on the app, it says, all right, you're in the correct location, you get 10 points. And after, 50 points, you can get free chicken or something like that. So there's all sorts of perks like that. And that's not discriminatory on any level. Whether it's if you show up, for example, to men's and women's lightweight rowing tomorrow morning, at between 7 and 10 a.m. at the BU Boathouse. You can check in, you can get 30 points right there.
Wow.
But yeah, there's that. There's also social media. Every time we have a home event, whether it's track, rowing, ice hockey, men's, women's, everything, we promote on social media across our main BU Athletics Twitter accounts. And each team has their own Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram accounts that they promote their own too. So we're always trying to promote and get people to follow our teams individually and BU Athletics, because we'll let them know we have fun stuff planned.
Okay. And do you think, or So you talked about renovations for Walter Brown. Are there any additional further steps to improve the marketing, or if not improve, just expand the marketing for the men's and women's teams?
As far as...
Just in general.
Yeah, I mean, every year we sit down, we review our marketing strategy from the previous year, we see what worked, what didn't work. If it didn't work, does it make sense to do it again? Is there like a reason it didn't work? Was there a snowstorm?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it trying to try something new? We always try to incorporate new stuff and new ideas. That's how we end up with the jersey idea. We're always looking to improve. Yeah, I don't think until we have every seat filled for every game, I don't think our job is done. So,
do you think there's one method that works the best out of all others, or is it more a combination of different factors?
Yeah, there's certainly different factors. I mean, with regards to our winter sports, they're indoor, so unless there's like a big snowstorm, you can at least count on the weather or, you know, where the fans are sitting, being, you know, nice and enjoyable to be able to enjoy the game. There's you know, different things we can take into play that may affect how a promotion might go, based on like availability if it's a community promotion.
Okay.
You know, if a particular group that we're trying to work with, or demographic we're trying to work with, is busy at a certain time when we're trying to plan the promotion, well, it doesn't have a lot of success, obviously.
We were interested in speaking with someone who had knowledge of hockey, both as a sport in general and as a sport here at BU. We spoke with Brady Gardner, a freshman in the College of Communication. Brady knows quite a bit about hockey, as he reports on men's ice hockey for the Daily Free Press. Here's our conversation with Brady. So, from watching both games, what can you tell us about the quality of the games themselves between men's ice hockey versus women's ice hockey? In other words, does one team play like better hockey than the other in a way that you can't see via just like a win-loss record?
I think physicality has a lot to do with it. I think you look at the men's team and, you know, checking is allowed and encouraged, so I think it's a lot more physical style of play, which kind of leads to just a faster game. But on the women's side, I think they make up for the lack of physicality allowed in the game by just having a lot of talent. This BU team specifically has a lot of, you know, really talented players, a lot of weapons offensively, so it makes them a really fun team to watch, and really fast-moving hockey on their part as well. But I don't think that's the same throughout all of women's hockey. I just think that we're really lucky to have a really strong team here at BU.
What role, because you mentioned that checking is something that's kind of allowed and encouraged in men's hockey. Is that something you don't see as much in women's hockey?
Yeah, it's a penalty when you check.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Is it not a penalty in men's?
Nope.
That's something I didn't know, actually.
You can't fight, though, in men's. So,
can you?
You cannot. In NHL, you can check, you can fight, you can do whatever. But in college hockey, I believe it's a suspension if you fight.
What do you think makes people want to attend hockey games just in general?
I think it's an exciting sport, especially being here at BU. It's really the best known sport, the men's hockey team. You know, it's kind of a nationally recognized program. And then on the women's side, obviously, it's a really exciting year to watch the team. They're being pot champions for the first time as a varsity program. They're making a good run here into the playoffs, so they've become a more exciting team to watch as the season has progressed. But yeah, I think that, you know, just being here in Boston, which is already a big hockey market, at least at the professional level, I think when students come here, they just automatically kind of become a part of that whole hockey craze.
Why do you think people, on the whole, are more likely to attend a men's hockey game over a women's hockey game?
I think it's just the history. You look at men's hockey being such a nationally recognized program. You know, they have all the banners. They have however many bean pots. It just seems like they're the team that everybody's like, oh, it's the BU men's hockey team. And then, of course, they got the big facility with Aganis. They got the big-time opposition coming in. They get all the headlines just because it is kind of a generally more popular sport with men's hockey. But I think the women's team does get a little undervalued, especially the way that they are playing this year.
The varsity women's hockey program here at Boston University is only around 15 years old.
That's right.
So do you think the youth kind of is part of the reason why it just doesn't draw in that much of a crowd? Do you think it's missing that history, kind of?
Yeah, I mean, at least in terms of a sustained fan base, because, you know, you talk to fans who were here in the 70s and 80s, and they remember those glory days of BU hockey playing there at Walter Brown before Aganis was even built. And so now I think that the women's team is just kind of bursting onto the scene, and there was a kind of growth period there when they were transitioning from a club team into a varsity team. So I think they're finally starting to kind of emerge from that development period and really mark themselves as a real contender in women's hockey.
We also wanted to get a fan's perspective on the matter, so we spoke to Hannah Ince. Hannah is a freshman studying psychology and is also a member of the Boston University Pep Band. Members of the Pep Band witness lots of hockey throughout the school year, as the band attends all of the home games for men's and women's hockey. Here's our conversation with Hannah.
How would you describe the turnout for, like, the fan turnout for women's games as compared to men's games?
So, in the beginning of the season, there were virtually no fans at the women's games, whereas there was almost always a pretty large student section at the men's games. But as the women got more successful, that fan section for the women grew. So like when we went to Bean Pot, there were a lot of fans. When like at Hockey East, there were also always a lot of fans. So it's kind of interesting to see how for both teams, success kind of correlates with the size of the student section.
Okay, so now that we brought up kind of record, I think it's a good segue. What do you think makes people want to go to hockey games in general?
I think it's quite similar to any sport, really. The atmosphere, I feel like a huge reason why people go to sports games in general is the atmosphere of it. So when the team starts winning and when the team starts doing well, everyone gets really excited and everyone gets super pumped up. And it's such an amazing place to be when everyone's excited, when everyone's having fun, when everyone's happy. And I think hockey specifically, I know one of my friends, I kept trying to get him to come to one of the women's games, and he was like, but the women don't fight.
That's a great other segue. So how much,
like, we mentioned this last night when we were interviewing Sam and Victoria, it's almost like some systemic sexism almost that you're like, yeah, the women don't fight. Yeah, they don't. It's not because they're these, like, dainty little ladies who are good and don't fight. They're not allowed to fight. You've seen, I think there was one game where, like,
They started.
They got pulled apart.
We
were talking about the timing of the games, too. We said the women's games, if you look, they happen on, like, Saturday afternoons compared to, like, the men's games are on Friday and Saturday. And so, like, yeah, let's go have a nice night at the men's hockey game. So I think even that, like, just finding a way to change that could be an easy fix.
What is your experience with marketing for, like, the women's games versus men's games? Like, do you see ads around campus for one game versus another?
On campus, I don't pay much attention, but I get emails from men's hockey.
Oh, okay.
You're right. I didn't even think about that. That's true. They're like, come watch us take on blank, and I'm like, okay.
And, like, I don't even know how to, like, get tickets using my sports pass, which I probably should have canceled since I'm in.
Oh my gosh.
You're right. I should probably cancel my sports pass. Yeah. I'm there anyway.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, get your $140 back, guys.
Yeah, but, like, I get emails from them, and I, like, get tickets whenever I do go to, like, a game that I'm not playing at, or when I, like, get a ticket for a friend or something. I, like, get the ticket through the email link, and I don't even know, like, I have never figured out how to get a ticket using my sports pass without that email link, if I'm being honest. It took me like 30 minutes and I couldn't figure it out, and
so you don't know how to get a ticket for a women's game since you don't get emails for women's games,
right?
So that's a fix right there. Make that a thing,
or just explain to people how to use their sports.
That too. Another thing that I was thinking of when we were talking about is, like, promotions. There's not a whole ton of promotions that you get at women's games. I can't think of any off the top of my head. Please bring some to my attention.
There's, like, they have, like, a few. Like, they have the chili after Bean Pot. They have, like, sometimes they have, like, t-shirts, like, Under Armour and stuff.
Yeah, but if you think about that and then you compare it to the get a free jersey,
right,
get a Razor scooter, the Cane Challenge.
A Razor scooter?
Yep, that was a promotion that they were doing. I don't know if it was, like, a lottery.
Did everyone get a Razor
scooter? I don't know. Like, no one knows.
They took, like, a video of Rhett on a Razor scooter
around, like, various parts of West Campus. It was absolutely wild. But, yeah, so I think even, like, if you were to even institute some form of the Cane Challenge and give us, like, a women's hockey dog pound, I think that in itself might do some fixing.
Yeah, I don't understand why the Cane Challenge is confined to Agganis. It's not, like, because it's not just confined to the men's team. It's, like, when the women were playing, they at Aganis.
You're right.
The Canes Challenge happened.
You're 100%
they
right.
They didn't get
I
it.
So
that.
It's not
but
confined
it
by team, it's confined by arena since it's right there.
It's by venue,
I guess, yeah.
That is so smart of them to do from a marketing standpoint.
Yeah.
Because I guess I would sort of understand, like, that it's only at Aganis and it's not going to be at Case Gym just because there's, like, more of a distance, even though it's so minimal.
It's across the west.
Yeah.
Like
I mean, Case Gym is Rhett's West Challenge.
That's just for basketball.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's just basketball.
Any party wisdom that you want to impart?
I'm not very wise.
Any more questions you got? We hit everything on here.
Okay. Well, we talked about this with Sam and Victoria yesterday. I'm going to ask you again. Do you think that the biggest issue in this disparity of attendance at the games is systemic? Do you think that it's because of the marketing, the venues? Like, it's not the merit of the players themselves or the way they're playing, but it's the way that BU has structured attendance to these games that is the cause of the difference in attendance.
I think that probably plays a huge role in it, just because women's games aren't really promoted, there's not really many advertisements for the games, but also I think it's a societal construct to not go to women's games, because it's not just hockey, it's like, you watch all of these sports, like you watch baseball, you watch football, you watch hockey, you watch in Europe, you watch soccer, and all of the sports, when you watch them, are men's sports. And when you see the World Cup, you don't watch the Women's World Cup for soccer, you watch the Men's World Cup. So I think it's like, it's just a societal thing that, like, society has built up this idea that sports are played by men, and women's sports are just kind of like for fun. So it's, I think, yes, BU plays a huge part in it, but I also think that it's not just BU.
I think you can see that with everything that's happening with Boston University hockey this week. Might need to correct this number later, but off the top of my head, I think 5 of our men's hockey players signed and drafted with the NHL this week. 5 of them. So,
pretty sure.
Edinger?
Yeah. Ottinger. Chad Chris,
yeah.
Joel Farabee,
uh-huh.
Dante Fabro, and Bobo Carpenter. Like, he was graduating anyway, but he signed. Ooh. And then you compare that to, there's plenty of our women that could go play. Like, well, first of all, there is a women's kind of version of the NHL. It's like maybe 4 years old, and like I don't think a lot of people know about it. So it's just less opportunity. So I think it's definitely a bigger issue than just what's happening.
Yeah, and it's like, and it, when you're in Aganis, you see, like, all of these pictures of, like, BU hockey players that went on to play in the NHL. And then, like, in Walter Brown, you see pictures of women who went on to play in the Olympic Games.
Yeah.
So it's, like, it's like, similar, but it's so different.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, so many people just don't watch the Olympic Games. I know I'm, like, one of those people, especially the Winter Games. I don't really follow them at all.
Yeah.
But in general, I feel like hockey is one of those sports that, like, anyone could play it. Like, I don't even understand why it's men and women. It's like, I had a friend in high school who was super into hockey, and she was a goalie. And she played, actually, in high school on the varsity team for the guys' team, because we didn't have a girls' team. But, like, she was good. But then she quit because they never played her, which was ridiculous because she was good.
That's stupid.
So that's another food for thought.
So I think that's what we're getting. It's a bigger issue.
Yeah.
To get a sense of how fan turnout has changed over the past few years, we spoke to Sam Casey and Victoria Paspalis, who are both second-year members of the Boston University Pep Band. Sam is a sophomore studying neuroscience and sociology, and Victoria is a sophomore studying music education. Here's how our conversation with Victoria and Sam went.
What did you observe about the fan turnout at the different games?
So one thing I personally have noticed is that first off, let's talk about the arenas themselves. So Walter Brown, where the women play, is a much, much smaller arena than Aganis. And we are in closer proximity to the team on the ice, so I think it's easier for us to see who's there and who's not. And from what I've noticed, it's only really a small band, and then some band alumni and maybe family and friends of the girls on the team. It's not not too many people. And then if you go to a men's game in Aganis, the whole student section is usually full of the dog pound. You've got plenty of fans who are coming out. Aganis itself is a huge arena, seats at least 5,000 people. So that there's a pretty big difference in terms of who goes to the men's game versus the women's games.
Yeah, I'd have to echo a lot of the same things. I feel like it's very, there is a very stark difference in the atmosphere at each game, and there are definitely far more people who go to the men's games than the women's games.
I think there are times where you could say that there's more away fans than there are home fans for women's hockey, do you think?
Yeah, I've definitely noticed that too, especially we played UNH in Hockey East quarterfinals, and there was a big turnout for them, and it felt like we had virtually no one.
Do you think part of that might be that people don't know where Walter Brown is? Because I actually don't know where that is. Could someone tell me?
Okay, so you know in West Campus, over by Ridge Hall, there's the roof, and they have, like, big ads for the roof.
That's where the basketball court is, right? Oh, so it's hidden somewhere around there?
It's beneath that.
Oh, it's that in and of itself seems engineered against attendance.
Yeah. It's not as present. I mean, you're going down Calm Ave, you see this big arena that is Aganis, you see a statue of Harry Aganis, like they, you know, it's marketed very well. Wally B is kind of hidden off all the way in the back of West Campus. I mean, you can only really see it if you're coming at it from like Babcock Street.
Yeah.
So it's a lot harder to spot, easier to miss.
Definitely.
One thing I noticed, I didn't notice it that much until we got to the Bean Pot, but in Walter Brown there's no screen.
What?
There's no jump.
Yeah, it's like kind of one of those old school scoreboards, like one you would see in Case Gym at the basketball game.
Basketball game.
Numbers.
Really?
Yeah. But I feel like at the men's games, before every game, they have like a whole sequence. Once the team comes out, they show
the strobe lights.
There are two hype videos, I love the hype videos. My whole section just like loves the hype videos. We'll be like headbanging through the whole thing.
Yep.
It's definitely a really great thing to get the crowd like in the spirit of the game. And I didn't notice that the women's team didn't have a hype video. And I mean, it makes sense because there's nowhere to play in Walter Brown. But we got to, I think it was the semifinals of the Beanpot this year.
And Harvard had a hype video.
Harvard had a hype video. We did not. Their team got it together in a week, and we had a hype video the next week. And it was the same thing. I was so excited to have the hype video, and I was really hyped from it because it's the hype video. But it was just, it was missing, and I didn't realize it was missing until it was
obvious. So just in general, what do you think makes people want to attend games?
I feel like BU definitely has kind of a fandom surrounding the hockey team, and I know that people don't necessarily know that coming into it, just being a student here. I mean, I know most people don't choose BU for the hockey if they're not actually playing, but BU's really known for its hockey team. It has a really neat history, and I feel like people want to be a part of that, especially since we don't have a football team. I feel like that's kind of, it takes the place of that as the, you know, typical college experience or whatever you want to call it. And I feel like people know the men's team more, so people know the atmosphere of the men's games, so they go to the men's games, but then that stops people from going to the women's games.
See, I think it's more of a culture thing. I think that people in general are just so drawn to men's sports, and those are the sports they're advertising that you see on TV if you're flipping through the channels, whereas there aren't even as many women's leagues. If you look at our players at BU, five of our current men's hockey players just signed to play in the NHL for next season. No one on the women's team did. We have three graduating seniors, that's it. So, like, there's less opportunity for them to play after graduation, and there's less opportunity for them to be even promoted for whatever leagues that they do have aren't really advertised at all.
So we kind of touched on this already, but why do you think people are more likely to attend a men's hockey game over a women's hockey game?
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's a lot to do with, you know, the atmosphere surrounding the men's games. People know that it's a fun time. More students go, you know that the dog pound goes to that because that's kind of what they focus on.
Dog pound being?
The dog pound being the student section. And section. Yeah. And I feel like they definitely have a far stronger presence both online and at the arena supporting the men's team. And I feel like especially if students here aren't really hockey fans, but they want to go to a game just to have the experience, they'll see that and go to a men's game.
Yeah, I think Sam hit the nail on the head with everything she said, but I also think it's the fact that, you know, most of the men's games are either Friday or Saturday night in Agganis. The women's games are usually Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock. I feel like people are less likely to want to make their way out to West Campus for a game in the afternoon than they are to want to go to a game at night, and then they can go out afterwards and see their friends and whatnot. But you're also right, Sam, in the sense that, you know, the dog pound in the student section is really big on promoting the men's games. I've seen maybe 5 of them at the women's games.
I think you hit an interesting point of like it's a big night activity. Do you think other promotions from the school help play into that? Like, just think about it. What do you do after a men's ice hockey game?
There's the free skate.
Free skate. I was thinking if it's a good night, they win the Canes Challenge, and then you go get chicken across the street. It's a whole social experience. You think that plays into it at all?
100%. I mean, I know there have been times where I've been exhausted after however many games we play that day, and I said, oh, I'll go to the men's game anyway. And then you see if you get the Canes Challenge, you know that people are going to go out afterwards and eat and stuff. There is more of a social experience in that sense.
So you guys have been here for next year than we are. You guys are both sophomores. It's your second year in the band. So have you seen a difference in attendance for men's, women's, both, neither? Like, has it changed from that last year to this year, or is it about the same?
I feel like it's probably about the same. I think that I saw more alumni starting to come to the women's games this year, and I don't know if that's just a scheduling thing or anything like that, but especially once the season drew to a close and, you know, we were going for the Beanpot, we were going for playoffs, things like that, I think I might have seen the student section that sits right across from us grow a little bit. I don't really know if I can say the same for the men's team. It's kind of hard to tell, especially in Agganis.
Yeah, I personally don't think I've noticed much of a difference between last year and this year, but you're definitely right in that after the Beanpot, especially a slightly larger group of people started to show up for the women's games. Even when we traveled to Providence for hockey semifinals, there was a good group of alumni who were there, and that was great, but we can't really tell in Agganis, again, just because it's such a large arena, there's already a stronger presence there, but it also depends on the game. Like, when we play Northeastern, there's a huge crowd of people. When we play Boston College, there's a huge crowd. Agganis is almost full, you know, so I think that also plays into it as well.
So I'm wondering how much you think, like, the audience's love of just fighting or aggression plays into this attendance thing.
It definitely does. They're way more lenient about it with men's sports. You very rarely see fights in women's hockey because the refs stop it. And I don't know how the players feel about that.
It's a league thing,
because
I was arguing that the other day.
Yeah, I mean, they do have far stricter rules, but I don't know if people are willing to initiate it. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've always been a hockey fan. I do love watching fights. I think it's so much fun. When there's a fight and we're trying to play so that people don't, like, freak out, I try to not read my music so that I can, like, see the fight.
Oh, guilty.
And I'll be, you know, I'll be playing the piece and all, but I will definitely sneak glances and try to see what's going on and see who gets thrown in the box and things like that.
Oh, yeah, even just comparing the games and who's in the box, there's always going to be multiple people in the box at a men's game. And, you know, that's going to happen at the women's games, too, but there's significantly more people going in the box at a men's game. Because I feel like they do have more lenient rules, so they're kind of allowed to be more aggressive, but maybe that's just a personality thing, I don't know, but it's definitely not as common.
Maybe this is some light systemic sexism, but Brady Gardner, when I interviewed him a couple weeks ago as well, he informed me that checking's not allowed in women's hockey. It's
correct.
Not
yeah.
a thing, which I didn't know until Brady told me, but I think that says a lot about kind of the difference. Exactly. Yeah. Like,
yeah, I mean, you definitely see some really nasty hits at men's games sometimes, and I mean, obviously they'll call it if it's not legal, but regardless of whether or not it gets called, you see a lot of nasty hits.
Oh yeah, I wasn't at this game, but we played the best the men's team did for the East quarterfinals, and it was the best 2 out of 3 scenarios. So in the second game, I think it was in the last 9 minutes, one of our men, I don't know exactly what happened, but one of our men went down on the ice, and that just started a huge fight. I think 5 or 6 people ended up going in the box, and one player from the other team actually got expelled from the game, and he wasn't allowed to play the game after that. So, like, you know, there are big fights that happen. I've never seen that in any hockey before.
To make sure we were getting a full picture of hockey at BU, we wanted to get perspective from someone on the ice. We spoke to Mary Grace Kelly, a senior studying biology and a forward on the women's ice hockey team. After being on the team for 4 years, Mary Grace has gotten a good sense of the fan culture related to hockey here at BU. Here's our conversation with Mary Grace Kelly. What do you think makes people want to attend games?
Well, I think for hockey, it's a fast-paced game, so there's a lot of energy in the rink, the fans when there's cheering, and even if you don't necessarily know all of the rules to the sport, you can just get immersed in the energy and the cheering and just go along with the music or just chants or whatever is going on in the stands.
So you think kind of the vibe of it that comes with having a lot of people there and like the energy on the ice plays a big role in it?
Absolutely, yeah.
So have you noticed a change in fan turnout compared to this year, compared to like other years previously?
Yeah, definitely. I think this year we have started to get a bigger, wider fan base. It definitely started with, I think, our home and home series with BC. That was a turning point in our season to begin with. But I know they did a lot of advertisement for that game to have a lot of people get to come, and it really worked. Having all of those fans just, you know, cheering for you, knowing that you have a big support system there, it does really help on the ice. It is a motivating thing. You know, you want to win for your teammates and obviously for the fans and everything. So, yeah, the more fans we get, the better we seem to play.
I don't know if you could tell just based on, like, being on the ice and, like, kind of observing, who do you think comes to the games? Like, what demographic? Is it students? Is it alumni? Is it family? Who do you think comes?
Honestly, a little bit of everything. So I know myself, I'm local. I'm from Massachusetts, so my family's always there. There's a few other girls with local families, but even girls that are from Canada or from all over, I feel like every weekend there's a large amount of family members there, whether it's parents or brothers and sisters or, you know, anything in between. And then there are a lot of students that have been coming, whether it's other athletes that we know. You know, we'll go to their games, they'll come to ours. There's that support. But then also a good amount of our alumni are actually local as well. So especially at our Beanpot games, you know, that was a huge thing for us. So they were there and we see them a lot. And then also the band. I feel like we've always had the band come for, I think, almost all of our home games, but I feel like we're getting more and more numbers of the band members. So I feel like that one section with the band keeps getting bigger and bigger.
If you look on paper, especially this season specifically, in terms of win-loss record and rankings, the women's team seems to be having a better season. So I was wondering if you had any speculation as to why the turnout is so much higher at men's games.
I think just part of it has to do with the history. You know, hockey's kind of started as a male-dominated sport, and I think BU has always been a hub for men's hockey specifically. It has just had a longer foundation here. The program's been around a lot longer than ours has. But I think also just when the boys get to play in Agganis, it's a bigger rink. It's obviously it's newer, it's beautiful, so I feel like that's more of a common place for people to get drawn to. You know, Walter Brown, we're only a couple hundred yards away or so, but I feel like a lot of people don't even realize that, well, maybe now they realize that we have a program, but I don't know, I guess it's just not as well known.
So you touched on something, it was like the history of the team, and that's actually something I was thinking about, like the legacy versus the record.
Mm-hmm.
So like a bigger picture versus this specific season.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that, like, if seasons like this keep happening, do you think you could build a comparable legacy?
Oh, absolutely. I think I'm trying to think, before I even got here, there was a span of 4 years that our program had won the Hockey East Championship. So that for us was a big legacy that we've been trying to build on since. And so granted, we don't have, I think our program's only been a varsity program for maybe around 15 years. I don't know the exact number, I probably should. But so even that's just a fraction of the years that the men's have had a varsity program. So I think we have been able to build a bit of a legacy, but obviously time will tell.
15 years. I didn't realize it was that new. Like, I knew it was decently new, especially around a couple weeks ago when they're talking about the bean pot and they mentioned, like, the last time the team won the bean pot, it was a club team. So this was a big deal because it was the first time you won the bean pot as a varsity team. I didn't realize it was that new of a program.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Oh, I don't know the exact year off the top of my head that it became a varsity program, but our head coach now, Brian DeRocher, he was the coach when it had the inaugural season as a varsity team. But yeah, in 1981 when they won the bean pot, it was still a club team. So I always find that kind of funny.
One thing we're thinking about too, it's the social experience that comes with the going to men's ice hockey games, and that's kind of the existence of the dog pound. Do you think that just the fact that that exists at men's ice hockey games is kind of a pull factor for people to come?
Yeah, absolutely. I know that they have a huge fan section, and they, you know, I think they have somewhat regularized chants and everything like that. So, I mean, that is fun if you're in the middle of the fan section. Just, you know, it can get rowdy, it can get loud, and that is fun. So hopefully the girls' side can find something like that.
Do you think the program could grow into a bigger program with kind of its own dog pound and its own kind of fan base over the next bunch of years?
Yeah, I think definitely with time as our program continues to grow. And even, I feel like even nationwide, girls hockey has picked up a lot, even with last year's the Olympics and everything. There's just been a lot more awareness that women play hockey. So hopefully as that grows, so will our dog pound.
After hearing both BU administration and students' perspectives, we've come to a few key takeaways. One, while independent ice time is great, there is an inequity between Walter Brown Arena and Agonis Arena. Men have spent every season game in Agonis, and after checking season records, the women's team have only played there once. This poses an issue because Agonis Arena sets the scene for greater attendance. Stadium seating, the Canes Challenge, and, believe it or not, a separate faculty to promote events, such as the upcoming concert to be held by Juice WRLD with Ski Mask the Slump God and the 1975. On the other hand, Walter Brown is tucked away amongst West Campus dorms with the less compelling Rets West Challenge, and they lack the advanced technology that Agonis has, such as a Jumbotron. This only scrapes the surface of the disparities between the two places. 2. Attendance isn't a direct result of team successes. The women's team has had a great performance this year, objectively better than the men's team, and yet they lack the foundational fan base, the dog pound, that devoutly attend men's games.
Third and finally, some of the disparities in fan turnout have systemic roots, from the fact that women's rules are more restrictive than men's rules to the fact that women's hockey is still emerging as a recognized competitive sport. The cards are stacked for attendance to favor men's hockey in more instances than not. Overall, the issue is much bigger than just BU. Thank you for listening to the Common Thread podcast, and we hope to see you on the next one.